Some pain is inevitable, but a lot of the pain we experience in life is, well, self-inflicted. A lot of it. Through some of the immaturities that we carry around inside, some of the things that hurt us, and that yet, try as we may, we don't seem to be able to let go of. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond, and thank you so much for joining me again on Christianity Works. Today, we're going to be taking a look at the pain we inflict on ourselves through our own sin. Because sin, well, it always has consequences. And please do stay tuned, because in just a few minutes, I'll be telling you about the powerful prayer that could be coming your way to help you through whatever you happen to be dealing with in your life just at the moment. It's great to be with you again this week, and today we're continuing our series of messages called Pain Relief for the Soul. In particular, we're taking a look at some of the self-inflicted pain we put ourselves through because of our own immaturities, selfishness, stubbornness, and being a people pleaser. Those are three things that we're going to take a look at today. Now, selfishness begins quite early on in life. Two young children, not even old enough to walk, can fight over a toy, both wanting it for themselves. It's an amazing thing to watch. I don't know if you've ever done that, how early selfishness takes hold of us. In fact, when we watch children, what we discover is that selfishness is in fact our natural state, and part of growing up is learning to let go of selfishness. The problem is many, many people never do, and that simple immaturity, our own selfish desires, is one of the biggest sources of pain in life imaginable. You and I, we both have needs, physical, emotional, spiritual, and an important part of life is making sure that those needs are in fact met. There's nothing wrong with that. But we've turned looking after ourselves into something of an art form. And that art form has a name. It's called selfishness. And it's nothing new. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Corinth that he planted back in the first century, had this to say. If you have a Bible, grab it. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20. For I fear that when I come, I may find you not as I wish, and that you may find me not as you wish. I fear that there may perhaps be quarreling, jealousy, anger, selfishness, slander, gossip, conceit, and disorder. It's quite a list, isn't it? And right smack bang in the middle of that list is selfishness. So what is it? We think of other people as being selfish, but surely not ourselves. Surely not me. Yeah, right. So what is this selfishness thing that so easily, so naturally, so unassumingly grips our lives? Well, it's a person, action, or motive lacking consideration for others, concerned chiefly with our own personal profit or pleasure. That's what my dictionary tells me. And in that passage that we read from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, it literally means, well, it has the idea of electioneering, putting yourself forward, courting distinction. In fact, the only other place in antiquity where we find that same Greek word used is by Aristotle, where he uses it to mean a self-seeking pursuit of political office by unfair means. See, a selfish person is someone who puts themselves first, someone who promotes their own interests, someone who will pursue self-gain, whatever the means, dishonest, unfair, to promote themselves. You see a lot of that in this world. And if the truth be known, this selfishness thing is something that grips us all too easily. It's so natural because protecting our needs, our rights, our wants comes naturally to each one of us. So why does it cause such great pain, this selfishness thing? Kind of weird, because selfishness promises so much. It promises that when we pander to self, things will be better for us. If we're selfish and tread on the next guy to get what we want, then we win and they lose. What a perfect outcome, we think to ourselves in secret. And whilst my selfishness may hurt others, so what? It makes me feel good when I get what I want. Just like those two toddlers fighting over the toy. It's my toy. I want it. Give it to me. And when the stronger one wins, he laughs, the other one cries. That's what's supposed to happen. But it doesn't. Selfishness is, in fact, one of the greatest causes of pain on the planet because it draws fire from all directions. One of my favourite cartoons is A Far Sight by Gary Larson, the one of the two reindeer with the big antlers, and they're standing up on their hind legs in a forest, and one of them has a big red and white bullseye painted on his chest. And the other one says to him, "Hell of a birthmark, Hal." And funny as it may be, when it comes to selfishness, it's a sobering picture, because selfishness is a birthmark. It's something that we're each born with. And when we live it out, it draws the fire of hell on us. And Satan, the enemy, just loves that. Selfishness brings anger and strife and jealousy upon us, because the whole of life becomes a competition to get the things that we want. It's my toy. I want it. Selfishness is the pivot in that list that Paul writes to us in 2 Corinthians. I fear that they may be perhaps quarrelling, jealousy, anger, selfishness, slander, gossip, conceit, and disorder. All the others, quarrelling, jealousy, anger, slander, gossip, conceit, and disorder, fall out of that one right smack bang in the middle of that list called selfishness. Friend, those things cause us pain. Selfishness, it promises so much, but it only brings pain. And if we want to do away with much of the pain in our lives, then it's time to get real and look at things that you and I are selfish about. Again, the Apostle Paul has a solution for you and me. Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 3. He says, look, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was the form of God, didn't regard equality with God as something for him to exploit, but instead emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself. He became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And because of that, God exalted him and gave him the name that is above every other name. You see, what Paul's saying here is winning and being selfish is losing. Losing by being selfish, on the other hand, is winning. God always turns things upside down, and this is one of them. When we give up the fight, the 24/7 competition of meeting every selfish desire, and friend, that is such hard work to do that. Do you realize what hard work it is being selfish? All of a sudden, that birthmark goes away and we stop drawing fire. And it's that fire that hurts us, fire from the world, from people, from the devil. When we start putting others first, we build relationships rather than destroying them. And when we put others first, do nothing out of our own selfish ambitions, then we're living life for Jesus. It costs us something to put others first. It cost Jesus his life, a brutal death on the cross. Yet he humbled himself for our sakes. That's the model. That's where freedom is. It seems that giving up selfish desires is going to cause us pain. Sometimes in the short term, it actually does. But ultimately, God's way brings a joy and a peace and a security that words can't describe. I'm Bernie Diamond, and you're listening to Christianity Works. Just as we take this short break, I'd like to remind you that if you have a prayer need, we would absolutely love to pray for you, because the only sort of prayer that the Bible teaches about is the sort that has powerful results. Just let that sink in. The only sort of prayer the Bible teaches about is the sort that has powerful results. So if you'd like us to pray with you, in fact, if you'd like our whole prayer community to pray with you, stop by online at powerfulprayer.org to share your prayer request. It's completely confidential. Your name won't be displayed. And in fact, while you're there, perhaps you could also pray for one or two others and leave them a word or two of encouragement. You can be such a mighty blessing to so many others by supporting them in this way. The Bible says that the prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. So please, let us pray for you and with you, and let's just see what God does, how he intervenes, how he chooses to bless you. That web address again is powerfulprayer.org. All right, let's head back into God's Word to see what else he has for us today. Many a person lives their life by the maxim, it's my way or the highway. You've heard that, right? Now, some people are more prone to that than others. Leaders, achievers, those go-getters are particularly prone to, well, let's give it a name. It's called stubbornness. Now, I know this really well because I'm one of those type A achiever kinds, more outcome-focused than relationship-focused. So that's naturally how I can be. And so I spend most of my life living in stubbornness. Stubborn. Always right. And this whole stubbornness thing promises so much. You know, it promises that by getting my way, I'll win, and therefore my life will be good. It's about winning. It's all about winning. Strong people are also often stubborn people. And whilst winning promises a lot, actually, it's one of the things, one of the deep immaturities that many people carry around within themselves that cause a tremendous amount of pain. I don't know if you remember last week, we focused on this passage in James chapter 1, beginning at verse 2. James writes, "My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but joy, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its full effect, so that you may be mature and complete and lacking in nothing. If any of you is lacking in wisdom, ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and it'll be given to you." In other words, as we travel through the trials of life, we're meant to grow up. As our faith is tested, it's meant to prove itself through endurance, and that endurance builds maturity and wisdom. But I particularly love how the Apostle Paul sets out this maturity thing. He says that as a result of our experiences and learning through them, we should be mature and complete and lacking in nothing. Doesn't that say it all? Mature and complete and lacking in nothing. In other words, we're growing into who we were meant to be with everything we need to cope with life. And one of the things that we should learn in life is that this attitude of pride simply doesn't work. It causes pain. Have a listen to just a couple of things that God has to say about stubbornness and pride. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 35, "The wise will inherit honor, but the stubborn fools disgrace." Proverbs chapter 29, verse 1, "One who is often reproved yet remains stubborn will suddenly be broken beyond healing." 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verse 8, "Do not now be stiff-necked as your ancestors were, but yield yourselves to the Lord and come to his sanctuary, which he has sanctified forever, and serve the Lord your God, so that his fierce anger may turn away from you." And that's just a few of them. There are dozens where God talks about stubbornness and pride, this thing of being stiff-necked. You know what it boils down to? I'm going to do it my way. And that, my friend, is the attitude of a child. A stubborn person is filled with pride and gets their sense of worth out of winning, even when their winning doesn't work. Let me give you an example. I am, as I said earlier, one of those type A outcome-oriented people. For many years in my immaturity, I would drive hard at things against the good advice of people who had more experience than me, people who knew more than I did, because I thought that in order for me to be me, I had to win. My way or the highway, buddy. That was my maxim. Sometimes it may have worked. Other times, oftentimes, it didn't. No matter, my way was always the only way. But when I gave my life to Jesus a decade and a half ago, I started to learn a new way, a better way, and it was this way that set me on a path to growing up. God opened my eyes, and I started to see that other people have skills and talents and abilities and experience and perspectives that I will never, ever have, even if I live for 1,000 years on this earth. And that if I could just learn to humble myself instead of being belligerent, I'd stop missing out on their gifts and abilities. I could benefit from them. I was hurting myself by failing at things I didn't have to fail at, if only I could learn not to be stubborn. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 22. "Without counsel, plans go wrong, but with many advisors, they succeed." And sometimes this was really difficult. Sometimes that counsel involved people telling me that something I was doing was wrong and that I needed to change my ways. Sometimes that counsel involved criticism and reproof and correction. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11, "My child, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof, for the Lord reproves the one whom he loves, as a father the son in whom he delights." Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." See, the more that my stubbornness and pride began to leave me, the better my life became. Let me say that again. The more my stubbornness and pride began to leave me, the better my life became. I used to think that only I could have a good idea. Just recently, one of the members of our board here at Christianity Works, Keith Henry, had a brilliant idea. He and I co-authored a book not so long ago called My Personality GPS. Keith is a teacher and an encourager, quiet, unassuming. I'm a leader, out there making things happen. When Keith became a board member, he said to me in his quiet, unassuming way, he said, I'm not sure what value I can add here. Well, anyhow, he comes up with this new idea. He calls me up. Let's have coffee. We did. I listened to his idea. Can I tell you, it was just stunning. It's had a huge impact on Christianity Works and our ability to do God's work. And I was sitting praying about it the other day, and God just reminded me how much he's been working on me and in me. Imagine if I'd been the immature Bernie of the past, unable to take Keith's idea on board because I was stubborn and full of pride that only I could ever have good ideas. The absence of the benefit of Keith's idea would have been a huge loss to the ministry. It would have caused me so much pain. Friend, let me come back to it. Some pain in life we can't avoid, but much of it is self-inflicted. And the pain of pride and stubbornness and my way or the highway, that pain, friend, is self-inflicted. Yet when we humble ourselves before God and accept his way, the pain goes away. I mean, do you get it? James chapter 4, verse 6 says that God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. God opposes the proud. He gives grace to the humble. That is absolutely the truth. Stubbornness and pride are marks of immaturity. Humility, collaboration, submission, those are signs of maturity. They are indeed pain relief for the soul.
I'm Bernie Diamond, and you're listening to Christianity Works. Hey, life can be hard work some days, and as that daily grind just kind of grinds away at us, it's easy to forget that Jesus died and rose again to give us victory over our sin, over our circumstances. Victory. That's why every video message that we produce here at Christianity Works is available on our YouTube channel. The daily fresh devotional videos, the weekly in-depth half-hour Christianity Works teaching messages, and even some in-the-moment, close-to-the-action videos that I shoot every now and then. They're all available on our YouTube channel at christianityworks.tv. Just subscribe to the channel and you'll be notified each time a new video is posted. It's simply amazing how powerfully the Spirit of God can move through even just a short video message. I guess we shouldn't be surprised. After all, the Word of God is alive and active. Amen. So I'd love to encourage you too to live your life in victory. Again, the web address of our YouTube channel is christianityworks.tv. Now let's head straight back into the Word of God, because honestly, he's always up to something good in our lives.
You know something? It's nice to be liked. It's so nice when we have friends and people encourage us and they like us and they like what we're doing. It's nice when our boss at work appreciates us and encourages us and rewards us. Those things are fantastic. But we can end up becoming addicted to the praise and the recognition of other people. As much as it's nice to serve others, if what we hang out for is the reward of recognition, if that's why we do what we do, so that someone will shine the limelight on us for a while and make us feel good as we bask in the warmth and the glory of our achievement, if that's what makes us tick, well, we're in for a lot of pain in life. Why? Because if people-pleasing is our gig, then what happens when no one notices the good things we're doing? Well, what happens when we do good for a person who has their own failings? Maybe they're so insecure they can't possibly acknowledge the good thing we have just done for them. Do you see the fine line between being a great servant and helping people on the one hand and being a people-pleaser on the other? And that line in the sand between the two is all about our level of maturity. It's about doing what we do for the right reasons rather than the wrong ones. We've all experienced the disappointment of a lack of recognition or reward. I'm sure you can think back to some situation in your childhood that was like that. It wasn't fair. You worked hard on a project, but someone else got the gold star. You cleaned up your room, but Mum and Dad didn't even notice, let alone say anything. And so we get discouraged and angry and we want to give up. That, my friend, is a child's response. It's not an unreasonable response for a child because a child doesn't have the maturity yet. A child hasn't travelled through the trials that teach them about life yet and developed wisdom and maturity with years. But here's the question. Is it a reasonable response for an adult? Should the absence of recognition or reward cause us pain and disappointment and discouragement, even immobilising us from doing good again? Or should it? Paul the Apostle was an out there kind of guy. He went through so much in his quest to travel through the known world in the first century to tell people the good news about Jesus Christ. People tried to kill him. On more than one occasion, there were riots and imprisonments and beatings and shipwrecks. He was bitten by poisonous snakes. He was criticised. He was rejected. They doubted his authenticity. Today, though, we're still reading the books he wrote in the New Testament, almost half of the New Testament books. But back then, in his Roman dungeon, which is where he wrote at least some of those books, the guy didn't always feel the warm glow of appreciation. You take my drift? So did it discourage Paul? Well, let's have a listen to what he says about this whole matter to his friends in Galatia. Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. He said, "Am I now seeking human approval or God's approval? Or am I trying to please people? If I was still pleasing people, I would not be a servant of Christ." Ain't that the truth? If he'd listened to the people who tried to kill him, the people who beat him, the people who rioted against him and drove him out of town, the people who criticised him and derided him and denigrated him, had he been pleasing those people, he simply wouldn't have remained a servant of Christ. And we wouldn't be sitting here talking about the things God inspired him to write, which are now part of the New Testament, the Bible. See, get it? It's great when we're appreciated, but the ocean of life that we sail on won't always be a fair weather ocean. People won't always have good intentions. Sometimes we'll be on the receiving end of their sin. And if we're still living in this childish way of being a people pleaser, it's going to hurt. Man, is it going to hurt? Jesus said exactly the same thing, John chapter 15, beginning at verse 18. "If the world hates you, be aware it hated me before it hated you. If you belong to the world would love you as its own. But because you do not belong to the world, I've chosen you out of the world. Therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, servants are not greater than their master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep your word also." People hated Jesus so much they nailed him to a cross, but that didn't discourage him from doing what he was called to do, from doing what was right. I listen to all the criticism that comes to my way, and as you might imagine, I cop a bit. If I've made a mistake or done something wrong or misinterpreted God's word on air, well, I'm the first one to say, you know what? I got that wrong. I have to fix that. But you know something? 99.9% of the flack that comes my way is from the people Jesus was talking about. And once I've honestly and openly discerned the difference, that 99.9% goes straight into the bin, and it will not. Let me say this again. It will not discourage me or slow me or prevent me from telling people about this Jesus who has given me a new life. When I was a child, I did childish things, but God tells me that he wants me to be mature, to gain wisdom through the trials, to be complete and lacking in nothing. And sometimes that means I can't please the people who listen or the people around me. Sorry about that. It's just the way it is. Friend, as we grow up, as we mature, we learn that doing what is right has its own rewards. Sometimes people will love us for it. Other times they'll persecute us for it. It's just the way it is. And what I've discovered is that when the rest of the world turns against us for simply living out the love we have in our hearts for Jesus, there is a joy and a peace in our relationship with him that is better than anything else the world has to offer. So let me leave you with this thought. Let us not grow weary in doing what is right, writes Paul in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. For we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. That's maturity. And when we live life that way, the pain of rejection and the lack of appreciation, all that stuff, that pain simply goes away.
Christianity Works is to see your life powerfully transformed as you draw ever closer to Jesus in a rich, dynamic relationship with Him. So if you'd like to go even deeper, then let me encourage you to stop by and explore ChristianityWorks.com, where you'll find a wealth of messages on all sorts of different subjects straight out of God's Word, and conveniently arranged so that you can find exactly what you need for today. There's so much there for you. Your free subscription to our daily fresh devotional, so you can receive a powerful scripture and some words of inspiration, hope, and encouragement each day by subscribing to Fresh. And remember, we would love to pray for you. Just click on the powerful prayer icon towards the bottom of the homepage. Everything at ChristianityWorks.com is free, including that e-booklet I mentioned earlier. It's only available for a limited time, so don't miss out. With all my heart, I know that Jesus wants to have a powerful impact on your life to help you be all He made you to be. So go on, head across to ChristianityWorks.com and be blessed. I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again same time next week with another message of God's love, God's grace, and God's power for each one of us in Jesus Christ.